You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Conservatives in the U.S. had a major victory in 2022 when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The ruling was made possible by President Trump's appointment of three judges, bringing the court to a 6-3 conservative majority. Now, in this election year, the GOP is in an awkward position as national polling shows that most voters support at least some degree of abortion rights. Republican congressional candidates in some states are in the position of pledging support for some abortion rights in spite of past support for overturning Roe. Trump-endorsed Wisconsin Senate candidate Eric Hovde said yesterday he supports the right to make a choice early in pregnancy. As far back as 2012, Hovde had advocated for the reversal of Roe v. Wade in past campaigns. We're taking a look at how abortion is being talked about leading up to the November election, especially by Republicans, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How important an issue is abortion to you when you're voting? Is it the most important issue or one of the most important issues for you? What are your thoughts on how Republican and Democratic candidates are talking about abortion? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jessica Waters is an assistant professor in the Department of Justice Law and Criminology at American University. She's an expert on reproductive rights law and policy. Jessica, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot of polling out there on the issue of abortion. Jessica, what can we glean from that when it comes to figuring out what Americans and American voters think about the issue?
Well, I think we can glean a couple of things. One, it's chaos, right? And we knew that this would happen post the Dobbs decision because the federal protection that we had around the abortion right at least created, however you feel about abortion, it created a level of consistency across the states. In a post-Dobbs world, we don't have that consistency. And in every state, the procedures for, at this point, obtaining an abortion are different. But also, the procedures for putting things on ballots and for elections are different. So it's really hard to predict with any degree of certainty what's going to happen, particularly in the swing states that we know are up for grabs in November.
One of the things that prompted us to have this conversation now is this ruling from Florida's state Supreme Court, two rulings actually saying an abortion ban earlier on is going to go into effect, but a ballot measure will be on the November ballot that could liberalize abortion laws. In some states like Florida, abortion will literally be on the ballot. How big a factor could that be in elections?
So Florida is a perfect case in point because the whiplash is extreme, right? So on the same day, you have the court both putting into place a 6-week abortion ban, right, which will go into place this month and pretty much eliminates the ability to obtain abortion legally in the state. In the same breath, they're allowing this ballot initiative for voters in November that could protect the access to abortion care up to the point of viability. So you literally have the court ruling on the same issue in two radically different ways on the same day. The fact that this is happening in Florida is particularly unique because I would say until a few weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, Democrats weren't really thinking of Florida as a swing state. And now it is, right? Because this abortion issue, particularly being on the ballot, is going to get voters to the polls. So really now Florida is up for grabs in a way that it wasn't just a week ago.
For a long time, I think it's fair to say conservatives considered abortion, anti-abortion platforms, a successful issue when they were running for office. It seems like things are different now post-Dobbs. What do you see changing?
I think it's really different. When we look at national polling, a majority of Americans support access to safe abortion care. Right. And post-Dobbs, what we saw is this issue come up again and again in state midterm elections, state ballot initiatives. And if you look at states like Kentucky and Kansas, places that you wouldn't necessarily expect support for abortion rights, when it came up on the ballot, abortion won. Right. And it got voters out and there were pro-choice votes essentially in every state where it came up on the ballot. The pro-choice advocates were able to garner a victory. So it has become a winning issue for Democrats in a way that it never was before. And I think that's really telling. You know, I think we're also seeing Republicans take some pretty extreme positions that are out of touch with what the average American thinks should be the case with regard to healthcare. I think the recent events in Alabama are a perfect example of that.
Yeah, talk us through Alabama. That was one of the states we wanted to visit with you.
Oh, Alabama. Yes, there's a lot going on in that state. So pretty recently, there was an Alabama Supreme Court decision that declared that under a state wrongful death statute, a frozen embryo, so that is an embryo that was not yet in anyone's body, was considered a minor or a person under state law. And as soon as that happened, every IVF clinic, every clinic in the state that was offering in vitro fertilization or IVF, they were immediately thrown into this situation where they didn't know if they would have criminal or civil liability if they continued with IVF procedures. Because if an embryo was now a person, there's all sorts of new liability. So they faced that, and clinics began shutting down their IVF procedures overnight. And the state legislature and Republicans, I think, realizing what a losing issue this was, pretty quickly passed state legislation that negated some of the liability, but it didn't negate everything. Even this week, there have been hospitals in Alabama that have said by the end of the year, they will stop providing IVF procedures because they're fearful of liability. But this is an interesting twist. There was a special election in Alabama, I believe just last week. And Alabama is a very red state. It has a supermajority of Republicans. And there was a special election, and a Democrat won. And it was a Democrat that had centered reproductive rights in her campaign. So it's a really interesting case study of a super red state with a very conservative court that ruled in a very conservative way, the legislature trying to backtrack, and then suddenly a pretty progressive Democrat winning a special election.
Jessica Waters is with us from American University, looking at abortion as an issue in the 2024 election campaign. You can join in with your thoughts or your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Suzanne is with us in Madison. Suzanne, hi.
Hi, thank you. I know in 2016, a great many Republicans voted for Trump specifically because of the abortion slash Supreme Court issue. It was their number one issue. It's been their number one issue since Roe v. Wade was passed in 72. I think that in this coming election, there's going to be a swing to the Democrats because nobody wants not enough people in this country want a complete ban on abortion. A lot of people want some sort of a time limit in terms of duration of the pregnancy on abortion. And my feeling is that if 40 years ago there had been some compromise, none of this battle would ever have happened. I feel that compromise on this particular issue, like they do in Europe with the 15-week ban, many European countries have a 12, 14, 15-week ban on abortion, even though there are exceptions. And so that's where I think we have to go. Thank you for your time.
Suzanne, thanks a lot for the call. And Jessica, in a lot of polling, I think we often see in the news people who want complete bans on abortion and people who want very few limits on abortion. The majority of people, I think, in polling end up somewhere in the middle there. I mean, is it as simple as finding a midpoint and coming to an agreement on a compromise?
I think in some cases, so I think there's a couple things to unpack there, right? So the framework we had under Roe versus Wade and its progeny did allow for those compromises, right? Because the Roe framework said there was a fundamental right to abortion care, but it did not say that states could not have restrictions, that they could not have fetal viability restrictions, or they could not have things like parental involvement laws. And that at least struck some kind of compromise in a number of states. Now, without that federal protection and that recognition of the fundamental right, it has allowed states to go in the extreme direction of abortion bans. So I think one of the questions that we'll see is whether the people who it wasn't their number one issue. So maybe it wasn't the Republican that abortion was their number one issue, or it wasn't a lifelong Democrat. I think what we'll be telling is the swing voters, the independent voters, the people who maybe reluctantly voted for one of the candidates or the other last time, they're going to be key to this. What we're not doing is talking to the base. We're talking to folks who could legitimately swing either way.
Suzanne, thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Jessica Waters, assistant professor in the Department of Justice, Law and Criminology at American University, talking about abortion and how it's showing up in 2024 election campaigns. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the way both parties are talking about abortion? If you are a conservative, if you consider yourself pro-life, are you worried that some Republican candidates seem to be retreating from commitments to pro-life decision-making? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Jessica Waters from American University, looking at how politicians are talking about abortion in the lead up to the election and its role in the election campaign. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. In the post-Roe v. Wade world, do you want things left completely up to the states? Do you want some kind of new federal legislation on abortion? If so, what would you like to see that look like? And does this issue affect how you will vote in November? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jessica, I want to focus in on Republican candidates for the House and Senate this year. A lot of articles from various parts of the country, various states, saying, hey, this candidate had pre-Roe v. Wade been pretty firmly pro-life, now trying to moderate that message in different ways. What kind of things are you seeing out there?
Yeah, we have definitely seen some of that backtracking in key swing states, states like Arizona, states like Michigan, states like Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think what is happening is sort of picking up on the thread of the discussion earlier. Abortion used to be a winning issue for Republicans. And then post-Dobbs, I think Republicans tried to retreat a bit on those issues. They tried to make abortion not be the central issue in many of their campaigns. And that has proven to be a losing strategy, because every time it came up in a midterm or on a ballot, Republicans lost, right? And the pro-life side lost in all of those fights. And so now I think Republicans are struggling to find their footing. It's becoming pretty clear that coming out with an extreme anti-choice position is not going to win them any votes. But many of them have been on the record for years as supporting fetal personhood measures or supporting restricting the abortion right in some way. So now they're really having to toe the line. I think a lot of Republicans are hoping they can get away without talking about it too much. But that's proving hard when it's actually there. Abortion is actually going to be on the ballot in so many states.
I want to focus in on the Republican candidate for president. As a candidate back in 2016, Donald Trump had said, hey, I'm going to appoint Supreme Court justices who are going to overturn Roe v. Wade. He did that. They did that. Now the message is a little mixed. The campaign put out a statement this week. I'm going to quote from it. President Trump supports preserving life, but has also made clear that he supports states' rights because he supports the voters' right to make decisions for themselves. End quote there. The New York Times reported that former President Trump had privately expressed support for a federal 16-week ban. His campaign says no, fake news. What are you seeing from the Trump campaign on this issue?
I think the Trump campaign is all over the place on this issue. The most important thing that a president can do in terms of protecting individual liberties, including things like abortion rights, is the question of who they nominate for the Supreme Court, right? And who they support and nominate for federal judgeships. And Trump, when faced with that question, did, as you said, exactly what he said he was going to do, and nominated multiple Supreme Court justices who were hostile to abortion rights. I think that is the most telling indication of what he will actually do if in office again. It's one thing to give a campaign speech and to sort of wiggle back and forth on the issue through a press release or talking points. It's a very different thing what you actually do when you have the office. And he's got a pretty clear track record on that.
Let's go back to our callers. Mary is with us in Northeast Wisconsin. Mary, hello.
Hi there. Good to talk to you about this topic. My concern is, of course, I'm always concerned about abortion rights, but I'm concerned about other things that go along with it, like the women's right to our own choice of medical care, because I think it goes past just being pregnant.
Mary, thanks for the call. That has been a concern that's come up, Jessica, that abortion restrictions have come along with other concerns about women's health care.
I think that's very true and a really important point. We tend to think about reproductive rights, that term, and abortion as synonymous. And of course, they are related. But there is a realm of reproductive health care that people need access to, whether that is things like sex education in schools, whether that is access to contraception, whether that is access to emergency contraception like Plan B, whether it is access to things like IVF. I really do believe, as the caller just said, that the range of reproductive health care is up for grabs here. And if there is one place of healthcare that is up for grabs, we have to at least be cognizant that that could have ramifications for healthcare outside of reproductive healthcare.
Thanks for that call, Mary. We'll go now to Charles in Greenfield. Charles, hi.
Hi, how's it going today? I wanted to give a comment about the fact that the Republicans kind of step into something that they can't get themselves out of. And they're trying to trick their voters to believe that they are going to support an issue when they are extremely far right and they're not going to support it. I think there should be some type of stipulations on how a person and why a person is going to get an abortion. And also they should have access to birth control. That should be a person's choice instead of restricting it altogether.
Charles, thanks a lot for the call. To Charles's first point, Jessica, the idea that Republicans have ended up in a spot that they don't quite know what to do with the end of Roe v. Wade.
I agree, and I think that was a really good way to put it. They are now in the position of oddly being on the defensive, right? And for years, it was Democrats that were on the defensive and had to figure out how to navigate this issue. Now Republicans are, and they are really being forced to explain their past track records on reproductive rights issues.
Thanks for that call. Turning to Democrats, from what you've been saying, it sounds like Democrats want to keep abortion front and center in this election campaign, and the polling seems to point in that direction. What are you seeing from Democratic candidates, Democratic strategies to try to make this a first and foremost issue in people's minds?
I mean, this is really the first time that I can remember that Democrats have made this such a central issue, both in state campaigns and in national campaigns. And I think they are very smartly following the polling. I think they realize that Republicans miscalculated in many of the extreme positions like bans, or Republicans have miscalculated when they start talking about things like birth control and emergency contraception. And I think Democrats, for really one of the first times, are seizing that opportunity.
Now, looking at what might happen in November, of course, we can't predict the future. Talking about abortion referenda, where that is the one issue up for grabs and people are voting for, that's one thing. When there's an election where, yes, abortion might be on people's minds and the economy and immigration and the list goes on, how do we know, how do we gauge whether abortion will rise to the top and be a deciding issue for those key swing voters you were talking about earlier?
That's the million-dollar question. I think the only evidence we have is what happened in the six or seven states where this came up in midterm elections, right? So we look at states like Vermont, California, Kansas, Michigan, Ohio, all of those states, when voters were forced to deal with the issue, voted in favor of abortion rights. We've also seen that in terms of when in Pennsylvania, there was a judge election, and the voters of Pennsylvania elected a pretty progressive judge, right? So every time it's come up, we're seeing victories for Democrats and pro-choice candidates. So I think that's the only real evidence we have that it will be a key deciding issue.
In our last half a minute or so, what are you paying attention to as the November election looms closer and closer?
I am paying attention to the states where it is not yet clear whether there will be a ballot, an initiative on the ballot. States vary in their procedures, right? So in some states, it is easier to get an initiative, a ballot initiative on the ballot. Other states, it is harder. And then there are some states where the only way that the law can change is through the legislative process. So I think really paying attention to those states where we think there will be a ballot initiative, but we're not yet sure, those will be predictive states.
Jessica, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jessica Waters, assistant professor in the Department of Justice, Law and Criminology at American University. She talked to us about abortion and the November election. Wisconsin is not a state where it's easy to get ballot referenda on the agenda. The legislature didn't work to have a constitutional amendment. That's the only way we really get a binding referendum here in the state.